But I'll start with a question, Lloyd. I know that recently you made a journey down to Point Comfort, Virginia. Could you talk about that a bit?
Do people know what Point Comfort is and where it is? I see this and I see this. Forgive me, those who did this, but for those who did this, Point Comfort is the site where the first documented arrival of captive Africans took place. And it actually just took place 400 years ago this week. And I was down there for doing research. And what I realized, or there are many things that I realized, Tom, and thank you for asking that question. The ships landing at Point Comfort after crossing the Atlantic or coming up from the Caribbean, think about it, Point Comfort. That was what the colonists called it. This was a beginning. This was a beginning and a time when so much possibility existed for defining human interactions between colonists and native peoples, between colonists and African peoples, between African peoples and native peoples. Nothing had been defined. Slavery as we know it did not exist then. Tribal peoples called this homeland and they controlled it. Powhatan, Mattapani, Pamunkey, Rappahannock. But this is also a time that left little evidence about the precise status of those first Africans. So you often hear the word, and you're looking at, say, the New York Times 1619 Project or other groups saying that this was the first documented arrival of enslaved Africans. But that word enslaved may not be accurate. They certainly were captive. They certainly were unfree. But Virginia colonists at that time had no laws defining slavery. There was no pre-existing sense of what legal enslavement meant. And it was a time before laws codified slavery for a lifetime or enslavement for a lifetime or slavery that was hereditary. This was before all that. It was when everything was beginning to form. And what I am concerned about is that almost the compression of a huge multidimensional sense of possibility of what relationships could have been and were compressed to single words that you find on a page. I wish we had a time machine to go back to really understand. But what is being explained condenses and compresses and loses so much of the nuance, so much of the early phases of coming to terms, establishing tobacco as a main cash crop, and finding that the marketability of tobacco meant that ever larger plantations to be run, the most cost-effective form of labor, of course, was labor that was hereditary, for life, and it was the form that made profit. But the laws in Virginia establishing that didn't occur in 1619. They're much later in the century. But it means a lot to me, in case you didn't notice. Okay.
Lorette, how do we communicate to those who are clinging to a fearful, fragile patriotism that cannot tolerate an honest, more complete history of our country? You mean to repeat that?
I mean, in many ways, that is the key question. And I would say it's a key question that needs to be answered not only now, but it's a question that we have faced since the beginning of this country. And a question that has not been answered. Part of it is recognizing, and this is where the sense of reparation comes in. For me, repair begins with understanding and reconciliation, and understanding the contradiction at the heartwood of American society. And when I say American, I mean pre-1776, everything leading up to that. How do we understand that? With honesty. How do we understand that? It's being open, it's being teachers, it's not being silent when hearing pundits say that that civilization was given to those who were enslaved and brought over, and therefore they were better off. It's not letting such things just go unanswered or unconfronted. It means confronting, not in a belligerent way, but in a persistent way. But of course, that, how do you do that? And that is something that I think each of us, as citizens of this country and as citizens of the world, need to recognize within ourselves. How do we stand up, and what can we do?
All right, this will be the last question. We only have a few
more minutes. I'm so sorry.
But that's all right. Okay. Please do share with us what, in your mind's eye, you wanted to share about the Mexico-U.S. border.
Well, I have to say it's the longest chapter in the book, and it's one, well, each of the chapters is personal, but it's recognizing the establishment I'm not going to talk about today. That's part of it too, just in the Reader's Digest condensed version, that the establishment of that border was a compromise. And it was a border that was established after the quote-unquote war with Mexico, which was the first example of the U.S. military invading another country, authorized. And it was an engineered war. They were provoked. The president at that time, James Polk, wanted to claim that territory, and not just the Mexico we know now, but at that time, Mexico included the southwestern states. It included California, Arizona. It included New Mexico, Nevada, corners of Wyoming, parts of Colorado. It was a land claim so that railroads, in part, could cross to the Pacific coast. There were so many motivations behind it. But the engineering of a conflict and the lies, the spin told to the American people to support that conflict. And of course, you know, Henry David Thoreau wrote about that in his the time that he spent in the jail, the Concord jail. But also, how it comes home is that this place was also a place where the Apache people were largely subjugated with Geronimo. It's also a place where African American military in the 19th century were posted because there was a sense that seeing black men in uniform in military was not something that people in the East or in cities could take. So post them in the most remote areas out of the way. And they were posted there, and part of their work involved working with the other units to, quote unquote, subdue the Apache. That's the language they use. But also defining what that boundary was during the First World War as well. And it turns out that my mother was an army nurse who was posted during the Second World War at a place called Fort Huachuca, which was established in the 1800s as one of those posts where black soldiers would be put out in remote areas. And that same thinking was in the military's mind just within the lifetime of many of you here during the Second World War. Put them out of the way. And my mom was posted there and then at a prison of war camp. And so the chapter on the border with Mexico not only considers how that origin came to be in the first place and the duplicity, if you can imagine duplicity on duplicity on duplicity, oh my gosh, but also the sense of trying to grab for profit, trying to claim land for profit, played into also a sense of how to use people for the gains of a particular administration. And of course, similar things have occurred since then with other administrations. And it's ironic what the current administration is doing at the same place. It's as if the past has never ended. It's still ongoing. So that's only a small part of a chapter that's that big, but it gives you a sense. But I didn't know. My mother, she was silent about her past. She didn't like to talk about Fort Huachuca. She didn't like to talk about it because I know why. There are cases of African-American Army nurses who committed suicide because of the conditions they were put under. So it's all part of a whole, and it's bringing the pieces together to thread and make that whole. And the chapter does that. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Lorette, especially for...
Thank you for listening. And my thanks go to you for listening. I do appreciate it. What I said earlier about silence and growing up in silence, it was very hard for me to learn to speak. And hearing a reception like this gives me courage to continue speaking. So thank you.
Well, thanks again, and especially for those thoughtful comments. To close this summer 2019 Monadnock Lyceum season, please feel free to be back next year to the Lyceum, and also please feel free to join Lorette back in the Parish Hall. And again, there'll be refreshments there that will be served by Nature's Green Grocers. So thank you.